broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kirk Crosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This is the broadcast for January the 14th in the year of our Lord, 2020. Wow. Hour one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio. Again, this is January 14th in the year of our Lord, 2020. By the way, our goal always is to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. We believe in and use the supreme law of the land, the Constitution, for the United States of America. We reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live. Quick recap of yesterday's show. Our first guest, Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org. And we talked about Rest in Peace Neil Peart, the drummer and lyricist of Rush, the rock band. He died at 67 of brain cancer. We played a drum solo, part of it at least, where he was live in Frankfurt, Germany. Incredible. One of the world's greatest drummers has passed away. Sad day, folks. Our prayers are with his family. Greta Thunberg, out of control, demands world leaders cave to her anti-capitalist agenda right now. As they prepare to meet in Davos for the 50th anniversary of the World Economic Forum, she says, quote, "We demand that at this year's forum, participants from all companies, banks, institutions, and governments immediately halt all investments in fossil fuels exploration and extraction, immediately end all fossil fuel subsidies, and immediately and completely divest from fossil fuels." By the way, it was written in an op-ed written in the Guardian newspaper, 17 years old, demanding to the whole world via the Guardian. She spoke before the United Nations. Who gives this little teeny girl authority? As Scott Bradley wisely pointed out, she doesn't have any authority, though. She doesn't have any power, literally. But I mentioned to Scott Bradley, she has power in that our politicians give her power. The media gives her power. And sadly, if we were to change the world as she's proposing, our world would absolutely throw back to the 1800s almost instantly. Because everything we have in a modern day literally takes fossil fuel to create. Now, I don't even believe in the term fossil fuel, by the way. That's a whole different discussion we'll get into in just a minute. By the way, we talked a little bit about the Eagle Forum Convention that took place in last week in Utah. Talked about the ERA. You say, what, Sam? That was like in the 70s. I know, but it's coming back. They're pushing for it again. You better beware. We also talked about gubernatorial candidates in the state of Utah. We talked about war in three articles. Iran Soleimani visited Iraq in peace. Yeah. Max Blumenthal with the peace. Donald says, hey, this guy was getting ready to crank up war, but it's not true. He was visiting Iraq in peace. If you believe Max Blumenthal's article, Iran is not the world's greatest sponsor of terror. Larry Johnson writes that. You know what? We claim Iran's the greatest sponsor of terrorism. It's just not even close to true. Iran proves its missile technology. Scott Ritter with that piece. Incredible stuff, by the way. And by the way, Scott Ritter wrote another article talking about Soleimani, believe it or not, was created by the United States before murdered by the United States. So there you have that. Foreign interventionism. That was hour one with Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org. Hour two, we had on our guest Scott Bradley. To preserve the nation is his goal. FreedomsRisingSun.com is his website. Check out his weekly webinars on the Constitution. They're incredible. But we talked about the House of Representatives shall choose their speaker and other officers and will have the sole power of impeachment. But the Senate shall have the sole power to try all impeachments. And they have to have two-thirds to convict. Judgment in cases of impeachment shall not extend further than the removal from office. but yet the president and vice president and all civil officers of the United States shall be removed from office on impeachment for and conviction of treason, bribery, or other high crimes and misdemeanors. By the way, we talked about another news channel might make it big. One American news network might sell for $250 million. Hopefully the family won't sell. They say we didn't build it to sell it, but time will tell what happens. I'm convinced if it's purchased, it'll just become a big propaganda arm of the GOP. But we ended on a good news story. A man stopped to pray for a police officer, and it was captured in a photo, and it went viral. We need more praying for our leaders. We need more praying for our servants. By the way, in many cases, police are both, right? They're our leaders, and they're also our servants. But we need to have a great relationship with all of them, and if we don't like what they're doing, we need to push to elect others. All right, that's a recap of the broadcast that took place just yesterday on Liberty Roundtable Live. News the networks refuse to use today starts now. Kurt Crosby's with me. Welcome, sir.
Buenos dias. Greetings and salutations. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Thank you, Sam.
You're very welcome, Kurt. Let's talk about fossil fuels a little bit for a minute. See, I don't believe when we play games with words that we're really telling the truth. And let me explain what I mean. I don't know what a fossil fuel is. Well, you say, Sam, that's where, you know what, dinosaur bones or whatever you want to say is turned into gasoline, oil, and then gas. And that's what everything runs on in modern day. And see, I don't even believe the origin lie of the term for the fuel that we talk about, Kurt. Are you convinced that there's such thing as a fossil fuel? Is it really fossils? Is there really that many bones?
No, it's just one more of those things like global warming and the Big Bang Theory and all that kind of stuff, you know?
Yeah, I think you're right.
I think it's
just a man-made manipulation of the truth. Well, the reason that I bring this up is because then what they want to tell you is this. If I drive around a gas engine vehicle, Kurt, I'm using fossil fuels and it's horrible. It's going to just ruin the planet. But if they create an electric car, Sam, that thing runs like clean. There's no fossil fuel there, buddy. And I submit to you again, that's another big old, absolute, dishonest, immoral, perverted lie. Because the ability to create the battery and the electric drivetrain and all the different components, the electronics, the wires, every bit of it takes fossil fuels to make, Kurt. It's just where you're going to have the fossil fuel emissions created from. At the plant to create all this or on the street where it runs. But reality is, I don't think that we're saving anything. Setting aside the debate on what a fossil fuel is or is not, what oil is or is not. Do you want to speak to that first?
Well, I'm for the use of all different things simply because what they do is they provide kind of competition, if you will, Sam. I mean, if we say that, hey, certain things are off limits, you know, you can't use wood or you can't use coal or you can't use whatever, it's just governments or in many ways kind of a quasi-government, world government, whatever, backed kind of stamp of approval on certain things, you know, like if you say, hey man, gotta have wind power, you just can't use anything else because everything else is hurtful to the planet, you know. All that simply does is give the guys that are in the wind power section, hey, you know, some kind of a benefit, and maybe they anteed up and paid more lobbying fees or whatever, but I'm for basically using the good things that the God of heaven has put on the earth for us to exist and to live well and to take care of others as we should. And, you know, that's why we have them all. I think we ought to, you know, look at it that way. But that provides one big problem, you know.
Yes, it does. Now, I'm not really for the use of all things, although I know what you're saying. I'm for the potential use of all things. And what I mean by that is, I'm for letting the market determine what we will use. If we have 15 technologies that could bring us the ability to produce electricity or fuel or energy or whatever words you want to use, because again, this becomes very difficult to discuss if we lock ourselves into certain terms, right? It doesn't have to be electricity. It could be water. It could be magnets. It could be, there's a gazillion technologies. It could be solar. It could be wind. It could be hydro. It could be perpetual motion. Now, you could laugh at me, but it could be a lot of things. And I bring that up because I want all of it on the table, and I want the free market to let whatever technology becomes the most efficient, the least expensive, the, all the different factors that the free market would reward, I want that technology to percolate to the top. And that technology that doesn't have those beneficial factors on the free market or the open market, I want that technology to percolate to the bottom. The technology that requires government subsidy to make appear like it's affordable, for example, would go to the bottom because there wouldn't be government subsidies. And I want that free enterprise system to determine what moves forward and what doesn't. But I want a fair playing field, as you wisely point out, Kurt. And then I want the free market to decide. The reason I bring this up is Kurt gave me a headline that says this: the Volkswagen XL was the future we never got. And so oftentimes you catch me saying, hey, a lot of these technologies are bogus. A lot of this is bogus. This isn't going to work or whatever. And, you know, others would push back and say, Sam, you haven't even given it a chance. And let me explain. I'm willing to give any technology a chance as long as it's starting out, as we point out, in this free market, this fair environment for discussion. Then I'm for any technology. And I'm there to evaluate it like anybody else. And if it makes sense, I'll use it. And if it doesn't, I won't. But oftentimes these technologies are manipulated to the point where we never get them. Okay, and I mentioned that very example when it came to radio. There was a Symphony Radio project developed by Motorola that would have brought analog AM radio to the masses and made it sound awesome. It died before it started.
Kosher. Certified. Put the two words together to get co-certified, which is spelled with an S-E-H instead of just S-H. It's the right way to spell this, the German way, and it made it easier to trademark. Now, did I tell you that the letters S-C-H still make the shh sound, as in all those American food producers saying, shh, let's keep it really quiet that our product is kosher certified? Think about it. Nearly one century of kosher certification, and hardly anyone outside exclusive observers knows that most packaged food and kitchen products are literally certified by religious intermediaries. Well, because you, consumer, are indirectly paying for this, the Kosherified app is here to make kosher certification awareness an inclusive matter for people of all faiths and identities, and it even boasts a unique database of products not kosher certified. We call that NKC. Start memeing it. It's fun. NKC, not kosher certified. Now, to confuse our audience even more, we put a question mark at the end of our name, and that really cinched our trademark approval. It relates to the website where you can begin your new shopping behavior, thekosherquestion.com.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today. With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, so I mentioned that many times on the radio. We literally interviewed people that were involved in the Symphony Project by Motorola, which was to bring analog AM radio to the masses. They had a radio that could literally receive a poor analog signal that was all scratchy and grainy and hissy and all kinds of stuff with it, staticky, and they could literally import, bring that signal in and then take a bunch of filters and clean it up and make it sound beautiful, better than FM radio. And we even had audio sound files that we played on the radio, and we interviewed people that were working for Motorola, and the Symphony Project was just around the corner. It was going to be released. Next thing you know, I couldn't get a hold of anybody. The project was indefinitely put on hold, and now no one even knows about the project, much less have the ability to vet it and use it. And what happened to it? I don't know. It got buried. It's gone. And that's why, by the way, I don't really believe in a lot of these new technologies that people bring up to me. You know, people call me and email me and say, Sam, I got a new perpetual motion machine based on magnets, or I got this, or I got that, or I can do this, or I can do that, or I can, you know what? I don't deny that they might have technology that can get that done. What I deny is their ability to bring it to market where I can use it. And every time I dig into this hard with somebody, I find it turns out to be vaporware. Well, now they're admitting that they do this, literally in the mainstream, the Volkswagen XL1. It was the future we never got, Kurt. Incredible story.
Right, and I thought it was interesting, too, because I'm trying to remember who brought it up yesterday. Was it Lowell that brought it up? But anyway, I had just had not ever heard of this story. We've heard of these... so-called stories, but this was, you know, written up and everything, and apparently they made, 250 examples of them, they call them.
Of this Volkswagen XL1 car is what you're talking about, right?
Right, and it was supposed to be the clean diesel, it was going to be the future for Volkswagen. They sold lots of diesels, huge numbers in places like Europe and Latin America, even in America. You know, we've seen plenty of diesel vehicles, that kind of thing. But apparently, it says a big selling point, so to speak, was the fuel economy. Supposedly, it could fetch 260 miles per gallon. And the article says, which at that time made it feel like it could put oil companies out of business. They say that didn't happen, even slightly before VW was caught cheating on diesel emissions.
Caught cheating. This is where the government sets impossible standards. Companies can't really say the government's involved in impossible standards, because if they do, then the next company will say, well, we can comply. And then they'll cheat, and what you get is government involved in kind of auto cartels where, you know, certain companies are given a pass, other companies are not. Certain companies supposedly cheat. Well, how do you cheat? Well, you make your sensors say that it's different than it is, but it all comes down to how you measure it, how you quantify it, and everything else. But the government literally creates winners and losers in this. And so Volkswagen created this incredible diesel that really got this incredible mileage to the gallon, cleaner fuel by far, really an incredible plan, right? You don't have to retool everything. There's gas stations all over the country. Just an incredible plan. But somehow then, oh my gosh, they're the big cheaters. They're the ones that, oh man, disgraced company. And now the only way they can get away from their disgrace, Kurt, is come straight out with electric only vehicles. That's the future for them now. And I look at that and I go, wait a minute. You can debate whether electric vehicles are better than diesel clean vehicles. And we can have that discussion on the open market. We can determine which one really makes sense, from a cost of purchase to the cost of ownership to the real environmental discussions about which one literally, you know, creates more toxins in the environment or which one doesn't. Or, you know, we can have all those battles and discussions, but we never got any of it. Because remember, they're the cheaters. They're the bad guys. They're the enemy. They're horrible. And so the free market's not at work here. And the bottom line is this car, now the concept car, they only built a few of them. And it only, it was a very small vehicle, very unique looking vehicle. So it was more prototype-ish, even though there are versions of it that people could drive and stuff like that. I say it was prototype-ish because it wasn't like your average sedan or your average pickup or your average SUV or whatever else. It hadn't got that far along yet. But they were well on their way for that discussion, Kurt, just like the Symphony Radio we talked about, huh?
It's a great point, Sam. And, when I was looking up Symphony Radio, just to remind myself about that story, I remember you bringing it up years ago. The last story I could find about it was like 2002. So, you know, like you say, it just kind of disappeared, you know. And
I'm telling you, those guys said we've got radios built, prototype radios for Christmas. We'll be ready. And they gave me audio sound files where you'd hear the staticky AM signal, and then boom, after it went through their radio input filter and everything else, how incredible it was. And it was called the Symphony Radio Project. It just died because they want everybody to move towards digital, you know, radio, where the government can control more of it, where only a few broadcasters can be in charge of everything. And, you know, hey, the cost was tremendous, but yet the control mechanism was there. And it's the same thing with power plants. I believe we could have nuclear power plants, little teeny ones all over the world. And it wouldn't be dangerous because they'd be so small. If one of them had a problem, you could, I don't want to say defuse it. I'm not using the proper language. I'm not a physicist, but if you don't believe me, there's one at the University of Utah that you can go up and just walk around and look at and see how it functions and things like that. It's really low level. My point is, though, we could do that. Elon Musk has technology. You know, we've got this now diesel technology where Volkswagen flat out was just shut down, buddy. We've got this Symphony Radio technology. You and I know people with technology. We've interviewed people over the years with technology. And every one of these technologies is almost, Kurt, about to just change the world. But no, never comes to fruition. And so I don't disbelieve in many of these technologies. I disbelieve in our ability to literally circumvent the world's control mechanisms to get the technology in the hands of people. So the guy that tells me, hey, I got this big box that can run your house, that can, you know, you can feed your trash into it and your waste, and it'll create electricity and, you know, clean your water and produce water and do all these incredible things. I don't deny that some of that technology may be real. I just don't think it's ever going to be in a house near me in my lifetime, because the government will not let it. And this example of, so the only people that created the cleanest diesel and this incredible 260 miles per gallon vehicle on traditional provable technologies, right? Oh, they're the scandal ones. They're the ones that cheated. Yep, there you go. Shut them down. And now the only life they have is if they go along with an electric vehicle, which is, again, the preferred government-promoted plan. And so I find this story fascinating, and I find it parallel. So I don't deny that wind technology could be incredible, or hydro, or you know, a lot of these technologies, but I don't believe that, unless it goes through the government-accepted plan, that we'll get any of these technologies, Kurt.
And occasionally, at least, let's take us back, you know, 20, 30 years ago or was, you know, somewhere in there, if somebody had told me that, hey, pretty soon you'd be carrying around a device that you could just call somebody and see them all the time, I would have said, come on now, you know, that's pie in the sky. So, you know, we've got that going on. So there's certain ones.
Yeah, but remember, that increases
their
control mechanism, doesn't decrease. That centralizes, yeah, doesn't decentralize. So any technologies that can consolidate their power and centralize and control and monitor and track and okay, that stuff will come forward. But anything that lets you have independence, anything that decentralizes, anything that changes the game and takes the money out of the money changers' hands, those technologies will not be allowed. So a smart meter can come and monitor all your stuff, but a ability to produce electricity off the grid won't happen. And so you're right. Technology does move forward, but you got to kind of think about the motives behind that technology and the details and who allows it to go forward and why. And every time that I can see, any technology that increases and consolidates power, centralizes, consolidates, monitors, tracks, what increases expenses, every bit of that will be allowed to come along. But anything that does the opposite and creates independence and stability and decentralization and less control and really controlling the game in terms of taking money out of the hands of the big boys or the governments, or those things will not be allowed to move forward. And I find that a very fascinating reality. Think about every single technology that's come forward. Every one of them has moved towards, really, in my opinion, more consolidation of power. And I find that fascinating. In politics, they say if one or two things happen, you can say it's a fluke. But when you look at a steady train of usurpations or a steady train of moving towards a goal, it is not by accident. And that's what I submit is happening here now. We always praise the internet and say how incredible it is because we can get our word out. That's all true. But they intend to put the hammer down at some point, Kurt. And it is a central control mechanism. Liberty Roundtable Live.
Exposing corruption. Informing citizens. Pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
A new report claims President Trump authorized the killing of Iranian General Qasem Soleimani 7 months ago with conditions. The word was that Soleimani, who was killed in a drone strike in Iraq on January 3rd, was to be killed if there were any other American deaths suspected to have been carried out by Iran or Iranian-backed militias. When an American contractor died a couple of weeks ago, the president ordered the strike that killed the general. Meanwhile, former Secretary of State John Kerry says he thinks the stories are inconsistent and everything's becoming suspicious.
That I think it's beginning to look like a cover-up over their original choices.
Few details, but Iran says it's made arrests in connection to last week's deadly crash of a Ukrainian jetliner mistakenly shot down by an Iranian missile. And this is USA Radio News.
If you're thinking about life insurance, from low-cost term to business or estate coverage or perhaps a small policy to cover your final expenses, why spend more than you have to? Hi, I'm John David Wells from the Wells Report. Since 1986, AccuQuote has helped hundreds of thousands of folks save a fortune on their life insurance by quickly comparing the rates, features, and financial strength of dozens of top-rated life insurance products right over the phone. Want some examples? A healthy 50-year-old non-smoker can buy a $500,000 10-year level term policy for less than $45 a month. Oh, you say you're 60? No problem. Under $120 a month. 20 or 30 year terms, even permanent plans are available. Okay, so you might have some health problems, huh? Lots of us do, but the experts at AccuQuote will still work with you to find the best affordable policy. To find out how much you can save, call AccuQuote today, 877-439-8830. That's 877-439-8830, 877-439-8830. AccuQuote, call them today.
Rates, policy points, and availability vary by state.
LSU is king after beating Clemson 42-25 in the college football playoff national championship game in New Orleans last night. Quarterback Joe Burrow, the Heisman Trophy winner, passing for 463 yards and 5 touchdowns and running for a score. But he notes it did take a while to get the team going.
Couldn't figure out where they were blitzing from all night. We had great play calls, great coaching staff. I mean, this was a long time coming. Kind of speechless right now. This was fun.
Former Dallas Cowboys QB Tony Romo reportedly has an offer to become the highest-paid sportscaster ever. Sources say ESPN's offering him $14 million a year to leave CBS and make the move to Monday Night Football. A controversial bill in New Jersey concerning vaccinations is being scrapped for now. The measure would have banned religious exemptions to vaccines required for kids to go to public schools. But a vote on the bill was canceled yesterday after it failed to get enough support to pass. And this is USA Radio News.
All right, back with you live. Any more on this interesting story about Volkswagen, Kurt?
I can't think of anything else to add on it, really, Sam.
All right, well, the last message I'll give worldwide to Volkswagen is this. You guys came up with some incredible technology on the free market, and you really had probably some of the best, and I'm going to use their word, fossil fuel technology around to be very, very, instead of guzzling fossil fuel, it literally sipped it. And what the governments around the world did to you was said you were going to reject that technology and shut it down and make sure it never comes to light, and we're going to call you the leading scandalous cheater. You got it? So you know what? Don't do that again. Understand who the power players are. It is about control, Volkswagen. You're allowed to use electric vehicles as long as those electric vehicles fall within the plan that we have going forward. And that plan changes the game. What do I mean? It increases the control. It changes the money to where, well, you'll pay a lot more for that electric vehicle. The control grid will continue surrounding your new vehicles, etc., etc. And just never forget that. And I sadly think that's the message that was sent to Volkswagen. That's the message that was sent to Motorola as well. And I believe anybody else that tries to bring new technologies that are really game-changing and decentralizes and takes the power out of the hands of the power brokers, they will go to any lengths to stop those technologies from going forward. All right, even though there's a lot of sad news in the world, and that Volkswagen story is one of them, in my opinion, because just think what a blessing it could be. There's a waitress by the name of Kathleen Moreno. She's in the news, and she's doing some good stuff, Kurt.
That's right. And KCRA out of Sacramento gives us this report. Headline reads, waitress to give portion of $1,800 tip to Australia bushfire relief. Says, subheadline, a waitress plans to pay it forward after she got the biggest tip she had ever seen at a restaurant in Sacramento, California. So some good things come out of California. She served a small table of customers at the Wildwood Kitchen and Bar in the Pavilions. She had no idea what was about to happen. The group's bill came out to nearly $165, but when Moreno got the check back after a woman at the table signed the receipt, she did a double take. When she wrote the tip, I thought she just wrote that the total was $200. And then I looked closer, and there was an extra zero. I couldn't stop shaking for about 30 minutes to an hour. The young waitress, who works two jobs to afford tuition at the American River College Culinary School, doesn't she know she can get free government money? But anyway, said she had never met the people at the table before. She paid it forward to me. She didn't have to do that, Moreno commented, adding that she planned to use a portion of the money to have her car repaired and would donate some to help victims of the Australian bushfires. Talking about, you know, what's been going on in Australia. You got a lot of fires, it's heating up down there. The young woman said she hoped her contribution would be a help to those who have lost so much due to the devastating wildfires. She said, I'm a firm believer in karma. What you put into the world is what you get back, she concluded.
And I agree with her, Kurt.
Yeah.
Anyway, pretty cool story, and there's good people doing good things around the world, and we want to highlight them. Congratulations, Kathleen, and I'm grateful that you're paying it forward. I'm grateful that we are involved in choice or agency-based volunteerism and or charity work, and good for her, but good for those people who decided to give her such a tip in the first place. I mean, there's multi-layers of good going on here, right, folks? You got to dig that, to say the least. All right, a cool California bus driver's in the news. What's your name, Camille Wilson, Kurt?
Yeah, and we're not... Well, we're typically any government transportation is, you know, against the Constitution, or it's kind of pro-communism. But anyway, in this case, you can find some good stuff on even on a government bus. And the headline reads, California bus driver honored for reuniting elderly man with family. Yeah, this lady's Camille Wilson. She's a bus driver. She's been given a hero award by the Riverside Transit Agency. Why, you say? She helped to find and return a missing man with dementia. The Riverside bus driver was traveling along her usual route in Paris. I didn't know there was another Paris, but this Paris is spelled a little differently, when she received an alert about a missing person. Yeah, an elderly man suffering from dementia. They gave a description on our device. That's what she told a local ABC affiliate. Because she personally greets each passenger that boards her bus. I think that's probably going above and beyond. She immediately realized one of her passengers was the man in question. She says, they train us on what to do. I was able to put two and two together. When he said he was on his way to the casino, being that there's no casinos in Paris, that triggered it for me. Wilson told the station she feels good about making a difference, and she's grateful for the recognition by her employer.
There you have it. You got to dig it. In the world, super rich is hoarding physical gold in secret bunkers, Kurt. I guess the upshot of this story is all the allegations are true, huh?
Well, Russia Today's got this piece, Sam, and like you say, you know, maybe the secret super rich have got something they understand about honest money. They say the data is consistent with reports that vault demand globally is surging. They ought to put that those vaults right in their own places. But, you know, if they're sticking it somewhere else, they've lost that. But anyway, the strategic case, they say, for owning gold remains strong. That's according to the analysts at Goldman Sachs. Why don't they call it Paperman Sachs, you know? But anyway, they point to such factors as political uncertainty, recession fears, and other worries among the global elite. Data from Goldman Research showed that owning the physical metal seems to be the global elite's preferred way to hedge against, well, events in the future. Physical buying of gold, they say, has increased at a rapid pace in the past 3 years. Since the end of 2016, the implied build in non-transparent gold investment has been much larger than the build in visible gold. Let's see, that's pretty fancy words, but the bottom line is, even the rich folks...
Yeah, they know gold's the reality. They know gold's the deal, and people are fleeing to gold for good reason. And, all the storing of gold in the bunkers for the rich, investigations show that it's true. All right, but speaking of that, now you might not get gold, but you might be able to buy silver now that the bottom one-third or one-half of households are doing better under the Donald, they say, Kurt. New Trump economy details coming out.
That's right, and it's new data from the Council of Economic Advisors. Whenever I see those things, I always worry about who those advisors are. But anyway, they say data released by the CEA, that's the Council of Economic Advisors, shows that over 11 quarters from the end of 2016 through the first half of 2019, the net wealth of the top 1% of American households rose 13%. However, that rise is dwarfed by the 47% increase seen by the bottom 50% of America's households over that same period. That's not all, they say. They say under President Trump, real net wealth held by the bottom half of households has grown by nearly 50%. That's over three times the rate of increase for the top 1% of households. Sam, do you think the world's going to get told about a story about like this, or do you think that's just going to be underreported?
Well, it was probably the Russians that did it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I'm just saying, you're right, though, and this is something that I personally believe needs to be highlighted, and I have to give a little bit of a kudos, Kurt, to the, what do they call this, the Council of Economic Advisors?
Yep.
Because at least they're willing to tell the tale now why this isn't going viral. Well, it all depends on who controls the media, Kurt. If it was us, were in the driver's seat, it would go viral, wouldn't it, Kurt?
That's right. This story appeared originally on the Western Journal. The
and good for them,
World
too.
The Daily brought it to us.
So good for us, good for the Council of Economic Advisors, good for Western Journal, good for WND, good for us, good for all these people along the way. But I'm glad to know that things are getting better for people that are struggling, Kurt. That's good news.
Good point.
All right. In fact, things are so good, a bride's planning a wedding. Well, things aren't really great for her, but she's making it great anyway, Kurt.
Mm-hmm. Amen to that.
All right, Kurt's missing his opportunity to tell you about it on the other side.
Well, I just figured since we had the music, we were supposed to wait till after this.
Yeah, but you're supposed to put a little zinger to make me want to listen.
Well, yeah.
Maybe like, why is she planning a wedding if things aren't going so well?
Daddy's got problems.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads. A divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is again the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
All right, headlines should read, Bride pulls off the undoable, right, Kurt?
Well, yeah, and the boys at Western Journal and WorldNet Daily bring us this piece. What you've got is a man and a woman wanting to get married. They're planning
That's
their...
That's the first reason they won't tell you about this thing.
They're planning their perfect day. A big part of the, I guess, monkey wrench, you might call, into this perfect day is that the bride's dad had cancer, and they thought everything was okay, but then they found out that the cancer was back with a vengeance. The bride wanted to make sure her dad could be part of it, and they didn't want to wait for the perfect ceremony because for her, the perfect ceremony, it included, dad. They put together last minute wedding. Took them, 30 minutes or so there in the ICU. Family, friends in the hospital all combined helping out. Witnesses were around. They exchanged vows and rings. Dad got a front seat to it all. She said, not the idea I had in mind for a wedding, but Jared and I got married. It says they had exhausted every hope. They planned a wedding in the ICU in less than 30 minutes. She said, it was the most beautiful, bittersweet moment of my life. My dad got to see his baby girl get married. And it meant the world to me that he was able to see it.
And I think it's a phenomenal story, and it just goes to show, and I bring this up for a reason. I don't know how much that 30-minute deal cost them, Kurt, but I bet it wasn't a bunch of cash. And what I would say is that we need to remember when push comes to shove, when hard times come, when things like that of a life in the balance nature, oftentimes we start to make decisions that I believe are a lot more correct. And even though it's a bittersweet moment for this daughter, I don't think she'll ever regret that decision, Kurt. I think she'll have memories and say, my dad was there. What an opportunity, what a great memory. And I think we need to think like that a little bit more in life. It isn't about the money. It isn't about the pomp. It is about the marriage. It is about the commitment to one another. It is about family. And I think the simpler things are brought out. We set aside the non-essential, and we focus on the essential. And there you have it. Dad's cancer takes turn for the worse. Bride plans wedding in 30 minutes. I think, we may not need to go that extreme, but I do think there's a nugget of wisdom in there. Kurt, any final point on this one?
Well, I agree. And she wrote a little bit more about this. She said, shortly after the wedding, my dad wanted to stop the life support He's still with us, and if you could continue praying for my family, I would so greatly appreciate it. Special thanks to the nursing staff at St. Vincent ICU and my friends and family for making this all possible. I guess a lot of the folks from her church, some of them, well, they commented about it. Congratulations to the newlyweds, they said. I guess they even, a lot of them shared the news to different people they knew. They were especially touched by the heartfelt ceremony and the reason behind it. Had them in tears. Some, they say, even posted and shared photos of their own hospital weddings that had been put together for very similar reasons. While this newlywed couple's on the brink of the loss, they can be assured that their choice to have a hospital wedding meant a lot to someone they love very much.
Well, and for Dad, the satisfaction of being able to pass his daughter to someone who will love her and care for her, and you know, what a satisfaction that must have been for the father. And anyway, good stuff, folks. People are doing good things all around the world, and we try to bring them to your attention. Now, I don't think this family was coming home from the hospital wedding, but this family did come home to a shattered sliding glass door, Kurt.
That's right, Sam, and this happened in Ohio. Headline reads, family comes home to sliding glass door completely shattered, finds goat sleeping in bathroom. Yep. It's not just what you'd expect. The Ashland Times-Gazette is a reporter of this. These guys were concerned that somebody had broken in. Individual found this, called his mother as he began searching through the house. Despite there being kind of a rough odor in there, soon he realized that a person hadn't broken in after all. A goat had. He first saw a large male goat asleep in a bathroom inside the home. Whoever expects to get a phone call from your kid that there's a goat in the house, is what the mom said. After the goat rammed through the glass door, it roamed around the house, apparently urinating as it explored. He said, it smells funky in here. Yeah. He found the goat in the bathroom, at least end up in the bathroom, and ran back outside yelling, nope, nope, nope. Imagine that phone call. She reported the bizarre and hilarious incident to the Ashland County Sheriff's Office. Once the officers arrived at the house, they had to reach out to animal control.
Yes, they did.
Humane
Society.
Now,
the big problem with this, Kurt, is they have an insurance issue now.
What's that?
As far as I understand, the insurance doesn't cover goats, buddy.
That's right. No goat coverage there.
Don't you know?
It would cover damage done by bears or deer. But
now, let me stop you there for a minute. And this is where I really hate insurance companies, Kurt. You know, you got bear and deer listed because that's common. You don't think of a goat, or you don't think of, like, maybe a camel, right? You don't think of, like, a camel rolling in your house. And so you don't really have camel insurance coverage or goat insurance coverage. And these guys are really going to go, oh, because it's a goat, we're not going to cover it. If it was a bear, we would. If it was a mountain lion, we would, or whatever. If it's a, you know, deer, would, but not, we're not covering the goat. In my opinion, this is where insurance companies, personally, Kurt, could cover the goat and say, hey, it's not really covered in the insurance policy, but clearly the meaning of coverage was there, and we're going to do it. And I think the insurance company will get 10 times more mileage out of covering it than not. But this is an example where they're just stuck on stupid, Kurt.
Couldn't agree more, Sam. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But just think, hey, it's not covered in our policy, but it's no doubt the intent was there, and we're going to cover it, and here's why, and boom, and a bomb. And man, just think of what kind of mileage and advertising benefit you could get out of that, huh?
Amen to that.
By the way, did you hear about the snafu that took place on TV the other day?
Doesn't ring a bell, Sam.
Oh, man.
What was that?
Well, what do they call this thing? It's a TV show called Family Feud. It's, you know, and I guess this lady was on there, and they said, hey, man, what TV character, you know, what TV character, whatever, you know, is the favorite vegetable or whatever, you know, favorite food or whatever for this TV character. And the lady shouted out Popeyes, Kurt. And it was supposed to be spinach, right? Anyway, the long and short of it is that the game show had to say wrong answer because it was. You follow me?
Right.
It wasn't Popeye's, Kurt. It was supposed to be Popeye and spinach. Well, then what happened, as far as I understand, was Popeye's, that's the chicken company or whatever, they loved it, Kurt. So Popeye's gives, first off, they tweet. And so the game show said wrong answer, but Popeye's tweets and said, you are correct. And so they capitalized on this mistake from this poor embarrassed woman on Family Feud. And now she lost $10,000 on the game show, Kurt, because it was the wrong answer, right? Well, Popeye's not only tweeted correct answer, but now they stepped up and they're giving the contestant $10,000 worth of food after her answer goes viral. And this is an example where Popeye's is stepping up, and for a measly $10,000, Kurt, they're getting worldwide coverage over this snafu on Family Feud. The family's happy because they're going, wow, that was a mistake, and we lost the game, but we won because Popeye's is taking care of us with plenty of food. Popeye's wins because they get a gazillion miles of coverage over it. We win because we all get a good laugh, poor lady. You know, and it's the kind of thing where you can laugh at her and say she's ignorant, but I would submit to you that when you're on TV and you're under the lights and the guns and the media, and when I say the gun, I mean reality, time, you're on the spot, right? And so she said the wrong thing. I mean, I'm sure to her, she looks at herself and goes, are you kidding me? I had a friend that went on one of those game shows, and the word he had to come up with was candy bar. But he kept saying Mandy Farr over and over and over. Mandy Farr, man, what? And he was trying to get it, and it's just being under pressure. And when you step back and look, you're just like, are you kidding me right now? These things happen to everybody, just so you know, in the media. But anyway, I digress. Except to say this is an example, and the reason I bring it up now is because Popeye's totally took advantage of that in a good way, took the embarrassment away from her, got incredible advertising. It was a brilliant move by them, Kurt. Brilliant. Whoever did that. So game show's like, wrong answer, and then they tweet, and they're like, nope, right answer, Popeye's, baby. And then, so that's an example where this insurance company could take advantage of the goat. Say, we cover goats, too, on rare occasions, or whatever they do. But I bring this up because it's all how we handle these things. All right, Australia is making a stupid move. They're slaughtering, 10,000 camels to combat global warming, Kurt? Are you kidding me right now?
Well, that's what the story says. I just was amazed that I didn't even know there were any camels in Australia.
Yeah, you thought they were all over there in Thailand, didn't you, Kurt?
Well, or, you know, maybe the Middle East, you know what I mean, where they got all the sand and stuff. But anyway, the headline reads, Australia slaughtering 10,000 camels to combat global warming. They say nearly 10 years after the Australian camels, and then in parentheses it says, and their methane emissions were identified as a factor in climate change. I think it's bogus.
Yeah, you got those 10,000 camels going on, buddy.
You know? 10,000 of the country's wild dromedaries now face a slaughter. Where's the PETA people when you need them? But anyway, the cull, which was scheduled to start recently, comes as part of an effort to help conditions in fire-ravaged Australia. Yeah, anyway, shooters are going to cull these 10,000 what they call feral camels. That's another way of calling them wild camels. I've never seen anybody, any hunter with like a camel up on the wall, Sam. But I guess this is your opportunity, you hunters out there. They say killing camels to save polar bears. Okay. Now there's a thought.
Hey, wait a minute. You kill a camel and save a polar bear? Well, if you did that, then a bear could break into your house, and at least it would be covered by your insurance, for crying out loud.
Yeah, probably camels wouldn't.
Good wow, thing. All right. I don't know how to respond to this except to say this, folks. We are being controlled and manipulated almost at every turn. Prayers are with the new media taking center stage. I'll tell you that right now. Hour one in the can, two coming up. LibertyRoundtable.com. Donate today. We declare this nation shall endure.